This show may contain strong language and sexual content. If you're a minor looking for information or help without all the grown-up stuff, visit our website at mygayagendapodcast.com for resources. This episode contains discussion of
homophobia in the family, sexualization of bisexual femmes, cisnormativity, and threesomes.
It also contains discussions about the LGBTQIA community. But you probably figured that out already. It's right in the title.
Monday, we're super gay. Tuesday is also gay. Wednesday is still pretty gay. And Thursday, I have a night class. Friday, we continue to be gay. Saturday is the gayest day. Sunday, yeah, it's still gay. But we also record a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to My Gay Agenda, an investigative podcast where we interview the queer community and plan our world domination. My name is Jen.
My name is Christina, and we are your co-conspirators in plotting whatever the heck cisgender straight people think it is we're doing.
Christina, can you talk about what's on the bi schedule?
Absolutely. I'm very thrilled to welcome our good friend Jesse McCormick, and then we're gonna play a fun game we found on the internet.
Woo!
So, hello, Jesse.
Hi.
Tell us about you.
Well, my name's Jesse. I'm a bisexual. That's what I identify as. I play ukulele. I do that in, like, the Asbury Park music scene for more context.
I think all bisexual femmes are contractually obligated to play the ukulele.
Once we come out, someone shows up at your door with a ukulele, like, gift-wrapped and says welcome, and that's how you know that.
Yeah. That's how you know for a quantifiable fact that you are now bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the stork, but it's a peacock.
I like it.
Except, like, they're pretty obnoxious, so I just imagine them handing the ukulele and being like, here!
There's a peacock at one of my work facilities who flirts with the air conditioning unit.
How's that going? That's just right for our bisexual mascot.
Yeah. He just fans his tail out at the air conditioner and it's just like, oh, ah!
I'd probably do the same thing. I love air conditioning. So back to gay stuff. Guide me through. When did you first start identifying as bisexual?
I thought about this a lot, actually, yesterday before recording this, because I tried to pinpoint exactly when I came out, and I don't think I can. I think the only person who I ever, like, sat down and said, hey, I'm bi to was you, Christina.
Yeah.
You and your partner.
Right.
Like, I sat you two down, like, kind of, like, sitcom style and was like, hey, guys.
It was very, like, 90s sitcom moment.
Yeah. Like,
I loved it a bunch because my partner and I are also Jesse's, like, pseudo-parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in her house and she's just like, I have to tell you guys something, and I immediately thought she's bi, like, was like super dramatic, like, I'm bi, and I'm like, yeah,
I'll literally never forget. I like kind of the day before I had a phone conversation with my mother where it kind of like spilled out of my mouth, like, mm-hmm. I didn't mean to say that I had liked girls. And then all of a sudden, it came out of my mouth, and I kind of nearly threw my phone against the wall, like, oh, God. Like, I even spooked myself, because, like, it never really occurred to me. Like, I guess, like, the journey up to it was, like, I made out with girls at parties, and I was like, this is fun. And then all of a sudden, I started developing feelings for a girl, and I was like, what? No, that's not, what? No. And then it was a whole lot of that, and then finally, I just kind of, like, without... It was just like a kind of spontaneous, like, subconscious thing where I said, well, yeah, I like girls too, but I can't control that. And then, which is funny because I couldn't control me saying that.
Yeah.
So the next day is when
There's
I sat down.
There's a lot out of control here.
Yeah. It was weird. It was very weird. And so, like, I took a day and I kind of processed it and went, okay, yeah, I guess I am a bisexual. Okay, cool. And so then the next day I was like, hey, Christina, Tim, I have something to tell you. I think I might be bisexual, and I'll never forget it. The inspirational words that came out of Christina's mouth next, she grabbed me by the hand, looked me dead in the eye, and went, D'doy, son. That's a legit actual quote, and it just, like, the minute you said that, it made me feel way better about the entire situation.
I just watched Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And figured out my IQ was high enough to enjoy it.
Yes, of course.
She said snarkily at the fandom.
So we've talked a bunch on this podcast about, like, the Venn diagram of bisexuality and pansexuality. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason that bisexuality resonated with you?
I think it's just at the kind of language at the time made bi more readily available. Because, like, mm-hmm. I think I only ever knew one pansexual person at the time, and, like, since then more people have kind of, like, spread out and, like, realized that that language worked better for them and, like, encapsulated what they are much better. But I think it's just, like, that was the term. You liked boys and you liked girls. Like, obviously it means two or more genders now, or, like, you identify as liking people of your own gender and other genders, which is mm-hmm. the two. I don't know. That's just kind of what I've stuck with, and it feels like it fits. So yeah. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who, while it's possible that they technically fit the definition of one term better,
mm-hmm.
just enjoy using the other to identify themselves, because it is like an identifier, like it's mm-hmm. your own, so yeah. you might as well like it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's not like an exclusive thing, because I think that a lot of people think it's an exclusive thing, and I just kind of am like, are you cute? Cool, let's do this. Like, yeah. I think you're cute. It doesn't uh-huh. really matter based on, like, are you binary? Are you not? Are you trans? Are you cis? It really, yeah. I'm very,
yeah,
very open.
Yeah, while the phrases aren't necessarily interchangeable, it's also, yeah. like, they're pretty close enough that one...
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, ultimately, the labels are purely for making us more comfortable.
Yeah. yeah.
So
you don't want to go with a label yeah. that you're mm-hmm. not comfortable with, or yeah. you don't like as much. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
No reason. It's like buying a shirt you don't like.
Yeah.
Are you out to the world?
Well, this was a reason I almost didn't... I wanted to be on this podcast real bad, because mm-hmm. once it was out that it was going to be like, we're going to talk about all this gay stuff. I'm like, I want to talk about all this gay stuff, but, like, I... For, you know, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. A lot of people in the community can relate to this, of, like, family not always being supportive, like, mm-hmm. fully supportive. Like, you know, just, like, for work, like, not knowing, like, where you stand with that. And, like, mm-hmm. to my immediate friend groups and even, like, acquaintances that I'll meet, like, I'll just kind of throw it out there. Because typically the community that I'm in, like, I've... have a lot of friends in the theater community and a lot of friends in the music community, which are both very artsy, very open, very mm-hmm. kind of, I guess, liberal kind of communities who don't mind and don't care and love you all the same. And so, like, I just kind of throw it out there, and I'm very open there and very out there, but, like, it's a weirder thing when you're kind of at, like a family reunion. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not just gonna show up. I can't show up in, like, I don't know, with a pride flag across my chest, which is a shame, because I want to.
Sure.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Do you, like, believe that there would be a sort of, like, actively homophobic response to that, or...?
It wouldn't be quite as kind of direct, or, like, quite as, like, shunning them, because my family is kind of the family, or... A lot of people in my family are, like, the kinds where it's like, we have a gay cousin, it's fine.
Yeah.
But you still kind of are like, not to, you know, shit talk my family, because my sure. family is still very loving and, you know, open and like, yeah. But
no, but it can be scary.
It can be scary.
Yeah. No,
it's a comfort thing, and you don't really know where the boundaries are yet.
I relate very heavily to what you're saying. I was in the yeah. exact same boat until the first episode of this.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, where it's just because there's not going to be, like, yeah, I know a lot of people are, like, afraid they're going to get, like, disowned or whatever, but
yeah.
there is also, there's shades to it. And without being disowned, it can still be weird and scary.
Yeah. yeah. It's, like, I think a lot of people don't understand that, for the wide variety of reasons that people choose not to be out, whether it's just they don't care
mm-hmm.
as much as mm-hmm. making their label known, or all the way on the other end where they think there's going to be some sort of direct homophobia against them. Mm-hmm. There's also just, it costs emotional labor and work to be out. And sometimes there are people who are not actively homophobic or something, but it still costs emotional labor to be open to them about that. You're not really sure how they're going to react, or you have to juggle like questions or misconceptions and things like that. And for a lot of people, it's not worth the effort.
Yeah. It's kind of knowing for me personally when to pick my battles. And, well, I know in the back of my head there's not going to be any, like, direct homophobia. Like, I'm not going to get kicked out of my house. I'm not going to be shunned by my family. There's still a kind of a vibe that kind of, like, a cloud that kind of floats of, like, that elephant in the room kind of.
Yeah. And also it can be tough with family because, while there's more to being out than sex and romance.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people just feel like that's not a subject they want to discuss with their parents, with any member of their family.
Yeah.
So when you come out to them, whether or not you're wanting to or not, or whether or not that's your reasoning, that's where you're guiding the subject.
Yeah.
In their minds, and a little bit in yours as well. So it's like, I don't want to talk about sex with my family.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not there right now, so why would I talk about my sexual orientation with them?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
So you're more out to acquaintances, friends, things like that, not so much to family.
Yeah, and I try to be, even on, like, social media where I'm friends with a bunch of, you know, my family on there, I still try and, like, keep a level of, like, openness just talking about the community and issues that we face in general, just so I can still kind of keep that identity alive somehow.
Yeah.
Just, like, but, like, present somehow. Because I do want it to be kind of something that I can project and that I can be proud of. Because I am proud of it. I am proud of who I am. That's so cliche, but I like saying it anyway.
How do you juggle being selectively out? Does it affect your day-to-day, your ability to talk about these issues?
I can talk about it. It's easier to be selective when you're talking to people in person. Because, at home, I don't talk about it.
Yeah.
At home, I just kind of, you know, well, I mean, it's not like, you know, I walk in, like, bursting, kicked down the door. It's like, you won't believe how many bisexual things I did today.
I definitely do, and my family can attest to that.
I mean, okay. More people should, but I don't. But, like, it's not something you talk about. Like, I come home and I eat and we'll, like, watch TV and that's kind of the end of it. And then, like, when I'm out, like, it'll come up in conversation and I'm much, like, more able when it's, like, in a kind of community, whether it's a bar or a venue or a coffee shop or something that I'm in all the time, like, a kind of environment that I'm comfortable in, someone brings up something, I can be like, oh, well, I'm this and I can say this because I have this experience.
Yeah.
And usually a productive conversation happens out of it because I have been fortunate enough to be surrounded by people who are very open to conversation and discussion and debate and such. So
you mentioned that you're involved in a lot of, like, performance communities and they're very open-minded. Would you say that you're out in select theaters?
I swear to fucking God, Jen.
I've definitely used that joke before and I don't care. I love it.
And now I have to cancel the podcast.
I regret nothing.
We already got so many Facebook likes, but now we have to cancel it. I'm sorry, everyone.
Oh my gosh. I apologize for nothing. Except for maybe all the coughing I've been doing, sorry.
And, like, I saw you brew that joke, but I'm like, oh, Jen's coming in with a question. Here she comes.
I think you should know by now. No. I'm only here for the bad jokes and the games.
Gosh darn it. I was going to say that I have personally found it in many ways to be easier to be out to strangers.
Yeah, actually.
Because there's, one, not much of a chance I'll ever see them again, so it's... not a big deal if they know anything about me. It's not going to follow me or anything like that.
Absolutely.
You don't have to spend time with them after that.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, after, even if, like, a lot of times in my little music scene, a lot of times people who you think are strangers end up, like, showing up at a lot of your gigs because they just hang out with the same people you do. It's a very kind of weird
family
kind
tree.
Of amalgamous family tree,
family bush.
And they'll show up, but, like, if you, like, give them that kind of, like, impression right away, then, like, that's their impression of you already, and if they keep coming back to talk to you, then you know that you're in the clear.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you, like, kind of put it all on the table immediately, and they can't criticize you from there. So I'm like, okay, cool, there's some, like, kind of strange power in that as well.
Yeah, whereas with, like, friendships and family, it could have an impact on the relationship.
Because there's always been something kind of established.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you're going, nope, that's wrong.
Yeah, basically.
So you've been out, or rather, you've been identifying as bisexual for a couple years?
A couple years. 3 years, I guess, now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that been?
It's been cool. It's been a long, weird, windy journey of just kind of, like, really letting myself say that I am that I'm bisexual, and just letting myself kind of, not even just say it out loud, but just, like, say it to myself. A big thing with me is that I'm a super bad kind of, like, person with imposter syndrome. I am constantly worried that, like, since I am kind of, like, selectively out, I'm not gay enough to say that I'm gay.
Yeah.
And it's weird, and it's been a battle of just kind of, like, no, like, just because you can't say it sometimes doesn't mean that it changes. Like, it doesn't mean that you can't, like, show support for different queer things and queer issues. And it doesn't mean that you can't go to, like, you know, pride parades and, like, Outfest and, like, stuff like that. And it's weird. That's really the best word I have for it. It's just weird.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. As somebody who's been out for nearly a decade, I can assure you that feeling will never pass. You will forever just feel like you're not gay enough. So, like, just look forward to that.
Yeah.
Have fun.
I know I already repeated a joke from episode one, but I just want to reiterate a quotation I shared in episode one, which was a queer artist who stated that every queer person she's known has asked if they were queer enough. So really, the queerest thing you can do is question if you're queer enough.
If that's the case, then I am really, really gay.
Yeah.
Like, because I question it constantly, and just, like, I, because I see, like, a lot of friends will, like, have, like, shirts that have jokes about it and stickers on their binders at school, and, like, back when I was in school, and, like, on their cars, and just, like, you know, will, like, kind of say it out on Facebook, and, like, write songs about it, and, like, I've never done any of that, and I'm like, am I winning? Am I doing it right? God damn it, no.
Yeah.
I just, it's hard. It's weird, and it's hard, and it's something I'm gonna keep struggling with, but it's something I'm gonna keep, you know, reasoning with, and working through, and continuing to be as gay as I possibly can.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely the case a lot with people like myself and Jen, like we've talked about in the past, about being in relationships with men. I have oftentimes been in conversation with, like, fellow queer people, and they're all talking about, like, their girlfriends and stuff like that, and I'm always like, I feel less queer, like my queerness got depleted by virtue of not having a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Because that just means that you, and I hate saying that people pass for things, like pass as straight or pass as cisgender, because that has, like, its own struggles.
Yeah, it feels like it takes something away, and it's just like, it's weird. It's just this weird kind of, like, kind of liminal space of, like, am I? Am I not? I am, though, but this thing begs to differ.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote
passing sort of brings with it the baggage of not being visibly queer and not visibly recognized as your own identity and being automatically assumed
an
identity that you're not. You're being assumed to be a person that you are not.
Yeah.
So, like, passing doesn't really have its advantages in that you feel sort of invisible.
Yeah. Like, it has the only way it has advantages is, like, for others, I feel like. Because none of the advantages feel good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really weird. It's not even an advantage. It's just other people feeling more comfortable because they think that you are something that is, you know, conforming and weird.
I mean, I do think it's important to acknowledge that there is a level. Wow, struggled there. There is a level of, like, privilege that comes in, like, a quote-unquote passing relationship.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to get shot a dirty look for holding my partner's hand in public because...
Yeah, I'm not going to get yelled at in a bathroom. I'm not... Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that, I mean, I just feel like it's our duty to bring that up. But, of course, that small amount of privilege does not make it worth it by any means.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's a good way to put it,
I doesn't think. Balance out with the feeling of, like, invisibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the questioning that's been ingrained in us from society and even within our own community.
I think it's really fun that, like, every single time one of us has said passing, we've rolled our eyes real hard. And, like, no one listening was able to see that, but I want y'all to know that, like, rolling our eyes really hard.
Yep. But, yeah, I mean, I joked before about, like, the feeling never going away and stuff like that. But I just try to remind myself personally that there's not really a cup or a quantifiable amount of gay.
Yeah.
It's not an amount. There's no quantifiable way to mark it. It just is.
Yeah.
It's an identity. It's a label, and it's enough on its own. Yeah. By virtue of being queer, you're already queer enough. Because there's not an enough. It's just an is.
It's not a club with levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not like... Not, like, platinum member.
Oh, you're a platinum queer.
Yep.
It's like the whole gold star gay thing. Like
Oh, no. That's a very toxic conversation.
Yeah, that makes me sad. We'll back up from that, but it's just, like...
Yeah.
No, we can lean into it.
Can we lean into it?
What the heck is going on with there?
What's the gold star gay?
Explain it to us as if we were straight.
Oh, okay. Well, being a gold star gay means if, like, say you are, I don't know, this is like,
explaining it is already problematic because it's already assuming a lot of things.
Okay, so, like, if you are, like, a gay man and you've only ever been with gay men, then you are gold star. Same with, like, a lesbian, you've only ever been with women, but, like, then, like, is there a cis, is there a trans, is the whole thing, and it just, irks me.
First, that entire label is does, like, not include trans people at all.
Yeah.
First in that, a lot of people will use that to be like, oh, well, I've never had sex with anybody with a penis.
Yeah.
Or, like, I've never had sex with anybody with a vagina. It's like, are you just patting yourself on the back for only, sleeping with cisgender people? That's not good.
It's not.
And also, I am not certain that it's, like, particularly of note to have only been with one gender ever. I mean, like, congrats if that's your life and that's fine. I've only ever been with cis men, and that's just kind of been the breaks.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who could not do that for a number of reasons, and they shouldn't be, like, insulted for that, or rather, like, people who were able to do that shouldn't be held to a higher standard than people who were not.
Yeah, definitely.
You're not a lesser gay because you didn't figure things out early enough, or because you, God forbid, have some fluidity and change over the years.
Yeah. No, it's just, like, that's another thing that falls into it. When I kind of first started exploring this label, I was just kind of like, well, I'm not, I mean... Obviously, bisexual means, like, I like more than one type of thing.
Yes.
But then I'd see, like, people who, like, call themselves, like, gold star lesbians or gold star gays or whatever, and I'm just like, does that make me less? No. But, and, like, when I would think back, like, growing up, like, I would think about if I ever had any, like, warning signs, I guess. Warning signs, like, it's a bad thing.
and you kept seeing peacocks out of the corner of your eye.
And they would just, like peek at you from the bushes, just like...
You'd hear a strum of a ukulele.
Soon. Like, I would think, and I'd be like, no, when I was younger, I wanted, like a prince to marry and stuff, and, like, I danced to I Was Dancing at the Lesbian Bar by Jonathan Richman when I was, like, 4, which maybe, but, like...
Yeah.
And, but, like, you know, that doesn't make me any less of a gay for, like, figuring it out way less, because, like, a lot of stuff was, like, pushed on me as a kid.
And, like,
that's a big factor.
Like, good on you if you avoided all social programming that, like, you have to be heterosexual or you have to be cisgender.
Yeah.
Good if you managed to avoid it. Sure isn't the reality for a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Dare I say everybody, because we're all living in this hellscape of a society that is heteronormative and cisnormative and patriarchal. We're all in hell together.
I think this is the part of the podcast where we ask you if there's anything you would like to say or explain to straight people for one last time.
I don't want to be in your threesome.
Oh, yeah.
I don't wanna. It's gonna suck, and I know it's gonna suck. I don't want to be in your threesome. And that's it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That is very fair.
I don't know if anyone said that yet, but...
We've touched on hunting for unicorns.
Which
we explained that in Amber's episode.
Okay.
Yes, but I think that's a very specific section of that. Just
yeah, just I don't want to be in it.
Yes.
Yep.
Don't assume that I want to be in it because I don't.
Yep,
that's fair.
I don't want to make out with you while you're drunk so that your boyfriend can watch and you'll be super hot.
I don't want to be your, like, object of, like, sexy sexiness. I don't feel like being your object of sexy sexiness. I'm sure no one else wants to see that, especially if we're drunk at a bar and I'm a mess.
Yeah.
Because, like...
I mean,
I will be.
Unrelated to my bisexuality, I just think in general that a threesome would be just a little too much for me.
Yeah.
I don't think I quite understand the logistics. don't explain them to me.
Well, I mean,
and
you don't have
to. Well,
this podcast does
feel like
have sexual content.
I feel like we don't need to explain what the concept of a threesome is.
Oh, no, I mean, like, I looked at the microphone when I said that. Uh-huh. Like, I knew that listeners would know I meant them. Like, don't tweet me and explain how threesomes work. I know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fine if you like them. I was just doing a goof and then it went on a little too long, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna hold. Should we go here?
No, let's go.
Can we go there?
Full speed ahead.
I say sexual content and explicit language. Go to town.
Okay. Well, full disclaimer. I say this, I don't want to be in your threesome thing, because I've been in them. And it's...
Scale of 1 to 10.
4. There was like,
and I'm assuming 1 is the worst and 10 is the best.
Yes. Maybe 5 if I'm being nice. Like, not like I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
It really kind of, what's fun is I've noticed a fun little thing that the majority of them have been, and not that it's been like a huge number, but like the majority of them. I'm saying, like, it's not like every other night I would be like, who can I find?
You weren't doing a psychology study.
I wasn't doing
the
study.
Gathering data.
Yeah. No, but like the majority has been kind of like just me and the other. It's okay. So all of them have been 2 cisgendered women, me being one of them, and 1 cis guy. And all of them have just been me and the other girl taking the reins because the guy doesn't do shit. They're just kind of, like, constantly in awe of, like, what the hell is going on. They're like, whoa.
Is this real life? Did I make it to a threesome?
Basically.
I gotta call my parents.
Yeah, no, it was kind of like that. Like, it was just, like, it felt like I was me and the other girl were doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Doing all the work while he tweets about it.
There was definitely...
Had to deal with Eiffel Tower jokes the next day from him. Like, I know.
Why would you ever make jokes?
Yeah.
At someone's expense
when they did the nice thing of having
a sex with me.
Yeah. They just did you a favor.
Like...
A great favor, if I may be so bold. Yeah. Thank you very much.
A good favor that was a great... great performance.
It's a kindness to you.
I definitely, like, full disclaimer, have had to sit down and chat with my partner, mm-hmm. like, would we be interested in that since, yeah. like, I'm queer and mm-hmm. have never been with anybody besides a cis man.
Yeah, or, just like, to, like, know
we sat down and chatted about it, sure, and then mm-hmm. came to the conclusion that it wasn't for us.
Yeah.
And, it, like, not to knock threesomes as an option.
Oh, yeah.
Threesomes are fine, I've heard. There are four or five.
Okay, first one I had was pre-coming out, and the second one I had was post. The one that I had right after was kind of, like, the outlier, because that one was just, like, me, like, newly out and, like, getting to be with just
so excited.
Just because I was able to just, like, be with another girl and, like, see what that was like yeah. as someone who's newly out, and that was really neat. Like, it was cool.
Ring of Keys playing in the background.
Changing my major.
Yes.
Other yeah. fun home gay songs.
I think the crux of this is that I don't think we're gonna make the argument that bisexual people are just not interested in threesomes mm-hmm. on the whole. I think it's just that there's a huge difference between having an honest and open communication with your partner.
Yes.
Or with someone about what you want to do.
Okay.
And with people being like, oh, you're bi, lol, wanna have a threesome.
Yeah, yeah. There's so a huge difference between, like, we're not saying you can never ask anybody for a threesome again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's fine to ask people for threesomes. But bisexual people, particularly bisexual women, hear that all the fucking time. You are not the first and you won't be the last to ask it.
Yeah, so I will rewind a little bit and revise my previous outburst, even though I am still really just like, about it.
Keep the passion, change the wording.
Yes, yes. If we are together and you want to explore something with me, absolutely have that conversation with me. If I care about you that much, mm-hmm. we can definitely explore it, fine, whatever, if that's what we think is best for us at the time. However, if you are with your girlfriend or you are just with your buddies and some other poor random girl that you pulled out of the bar and you come up to me and go, hey, will you two make out, or like, I have a bet that I want to win or something, or like, you just ask me because you see me drunk and you think you'll get lucky, do not ask me for a threesome. I will say no, and I will want to throw my drink in your face and also maybe the glass in your face. So
Kella.
Okay.
All right, let's get down to it. What is your gay agenda?
My gay agenda is just to allow myself to say I'm gay more. Allow myself to, like, you know, not be scared to say it out loud. And to answer questions when they come if they are, you know, not want to have a threesome. I know I'm harping on that, but god damn it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know, just be nicer to myself about my identity.
Saying that you're queer and answering questions about it, I think that being on an interview podcast was like a pretty good first step.
Neat.
Yeah. Just wake up every morning, look at your reflection in the mirror and be like, I'm gay.
Say it kind of like a goblin too.
It's on brand.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess I just didn't, I never thought about the possibility of someone coming on here and having their agenda item being like to love themselves more, but that's so important.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
And I love it, and I want to stress that to all of us. Let's
be kinder to ourselves. You are queer enough by virtue of being queer, and you are enough.
Yeah.
Is it game time?
Oh, it's game time.
It's game time.
Okay, so I found a site called JeopardyLabs.com, and they have a game. Somewhere in the subsections of that website, it's Queer Jeopardy. So we're going to play Queer Jeopardy. Now, this is for all of us, I suppose, because none of us know any of these questions.
So they could be great, they could be rough.
Yes.
Let's find out together.
All right, you're
kind of Alex Nonhead. Get ready.
All right, our categories are history, politics, vocabulary, famous queers, parentheses, old, or famous queers, parentheses, new, on point scales from 100 to 400.
Okay.
We're not going to play the whole game, listeners.
No,
don't worry.
It's okay.
We're just doing a few rounds.
Do not fret. All right, so am I going first? Yeah, cool. Okay, so I'll
I just kind of assumed you were the main contestant, and I'd jump in if
we're like, your lifelines.
Sweet. Okay, I'm gonna start off easy with like vocabulary for 100.
All right, get a feel for this. Define queer.
Not straight. What is not straight?
Not straight. Not cis.
Oh, I'm sorry. That should be in the form of a question.
Damn it.
Which, ooh, this one is a pretty long-winded question,
okay,
I gotta
actually,
say.
I really love what the website wrote, because it says, what is queer includes, well, that's poorly worded, but it's, includes anyone who chooses to identify as such.
Oh.
And then it goes on, but, like, it doesn't
matter. Yeah, it's a paragraph of a question.
That fit right in with what we've been talking about. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I'll let you slide on the not question format this time.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you have 100 points. Next.
Sorry, you wrote it down. I love it.
I'm serious about this. Next question.
Old queers for 200, please.
Old queers for 200. Who was the first openly gay man to be elected to public office in California?
Oh, was it, who's Harvey Milk?
Yeah!
Yes!
You did it!
Yeah! This site wrote what, which is weird.
The movie Milk made me cry real hard.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but I know that's who he is.
Yeah. I think that should be required queer viewing.
Okay, cool. Put it on the listy. Okay.
All right, so you now have 300 points. Total.
Nice. Let's get daring and go for history for 200.
History for 200.
Okay. Oh, is it easy or is it
stupid? This series of riots, named after the bar in which they began, took place in June of 1969 and are commonly considered to be the start of the gay rights movement in America.
Oh.
That's like three hints.
Okay, so then what is the Stonewall Riots? What are the Stonewall Riots?
Yeah.
Grammar.
Yeah. It says, what is the Stonewall Riots?
Okay, so I was right.
It's one even though singular it's like event, but it was several riots.
And yeah.
It's debatable.
Grammatically gray area.
Yeah. All right. Next up.
All right.
As a reminder, your categories are history, politics, vocabulary, old famous queers, and new famous queers.
Oh, I forgot to do the theme song. Gay, 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 gay,
gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay,
gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay,
gay, gay, gay, gay, gay, gay,
Who said, you can call me he, you can call me she, you can call me Regis and Kathy Lee. I don't care, just as long as you call me.
I don't, gosh, I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say, who is RuPaul?
Yeah!
It says, what is RuPaul, which seems a little
which, like, which, like, honestly.
What is he truly?
He just answered it right there, I guess.
That is the answer.
All right. I think it's time for one more.
Yes. Okay. I'll do vocabulary for 300.
What is the difference between transgender and genderqueer?
Transgender is...
How are you supposed to do that in a question format?
What is transgender is what you were assigned something at birth, but now you identify as the, quote, opposite.
Or a different.
Or a different. And then genderqueer is just not identifying as a gender at all. Don't quote me.
I mean, that is a very ambiguous term, and it can mean that.
That was rough.
Well, why don't we end on a famous queer one?
Let's do a famous queer.
Okay, old or new?
Old. So let's go 300.
300?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. This famous English writer and poet wrote The Importance of Being Earnest.
Oh, who is Oscar Wilde?
Yeah.
Apparently arrested in prison for 2 years on charges of sodomy.
Yes, ooh, yes, and then he wrote the epic poem, The Ballad of Reading Gaol.
Oh, wow.
But as a kid, he spelled a very British way of G-A-O-L, and I thought it was gowl. Gowl.
Yeah.
Like, what's a gowl?
I was actually watching a murder mystery, like, series that's set in 1920s Melbourne, and they... On the subtitles, I was watching it with subtitles on Netflix, and they said jail, but they spelt it G-A-O-L, and I'm like, it's still that now?
What do you mean? All right, so it looks like you got 1,500 points.
Yes.
Woo! What are you going to do with them?
I'm going to Disney World.
Yeah.
Not actually. Christina's going to Disney World.
Yeah.
Probably soon.
You're going to use all the points to somehow use them to tell yourself that you're queer.
There
we go.
I will say, Queer Jeopardy was not.
I'm at least 1,500 gay. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
It was not as tough as I thought it was going to be when I heard the words Queer Jeopardy.
Yeah. But still informative. Yes. I learned new things.
I did too. I liked it.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you so much, Jesse.
Yeah. Would you like to plug anything before we let you go?
Oh, I just
really free you.
Yeah, before you free me from these chains. No, I just released music on my SoundCloud, which is soundcloud.com/itsnotjessica, ItsNotJessica, because fun fact, my name isn't Jessica. For those of you listening at home who know me, you're all just smacking your faces because I say that all the damn time.
Yep. Awesome.
Okay. And as always, if you want to find me, if you think I'm funny for whatever reason, I'm on Twitter at @_glittergoblin_, or on Instagram if you like selfies and art sometimes at @glitter.goblin.
And you can find our podcast on iTunes, where you're probably at right now. I highly encourage you to review the podcast. It helps us to know how many people are listening and what they think. And we love to hear your feedback. You can also find us on Facebook. Our page is My Gay Agenda, an investigative podcast. And our website, www.mygayagendapodcast.com.
Yes, rate, review, subscribe. Tell your friends. If you've got queer friends you think would like us, share away. If you've got straight friends who you think need to learn a thing, share away.
If you got straight friends who want to be in a queer space but don't want to be in the queer space actively fucking shit up, invite them here.
Being an ally.
Yeah.
All right. And then thank you for joining us on My Gay Agenda. Until next time, put this in your gay planner. Fight the power. Love yourself. Drink lots of water.
Gotta stay hydrated.
And that's our gay agenda. That's our gay agenda. That's our gay agenda. We just want to exist.